Charlotte Soccer Show, John Hayes, Danny Brams. It's 9 in a row, 9 wins. It's a new MLS record, Danny, and you were there to celebrate it. And my question is, how bad do you want 10? Do you want 10 bad right now, or are you just satisfied with 9?
I'm not even close to satisfied. I'm hungry for 10. I need 10. 9 is nice. Why get 9 when you can get 10? Why get 10 when you can get 11? You know, let's keep going all the way. You know, and what an unforgettable night, though, to tie the record and get the 9th is nice. We want to celebrate the 9 while still staying hungry for the 10. And it was just an absolutely electric, energetic night at the Fortress. And one of the – I'm not going to say going in that it was a top 3 biggest game in club history, but it was a big game. But at the end of the night, it might have been a top 3 result in club history for sure.
Kolina saves. Lionel Messi comes to town, and Christian Kolina just stands right up to him. It's like it kind of reminds me of the movie The Gladiator, where you just kind of – you have to – when you're going up against Messi in a one-on-one PK situation, you just kind of have to walk into the arena and stand there and be willing to die. And I think that's exactly what Christian Kolina was last night.
Yeah.
Against Messi. He knew that he had to wait for Messi to make the first move,
mm-hmm.
and he committed himself to it. And somehow, some way, Messi tried to Panenka Christian Kolina, and Kolina ended up looking like the world-class keeper, and Messi ended up looking like the fool.
Yeah, I think it was brilliant tactics by Kolina. He talked about it after the game when he talked to reporters in the tunnel. He was saying things like, I've studied Messi ever since Messi came into this league. He likes to make sure that the keeper goes first. He makes the keeper commit, and then he kicks it. So I said, I'm going to wait until he kicks it, no matter what. Like, I'm not moving until he kicks the ball. And that's just the tactic that Kolina decided to use. And then Kolina said, and thank God he went for the chip, because that made it really easy. Like, and maybe he just waited him out to the point where Messi didn't have an idea. And he's like, oh, fuck it, I'll chip. You know, who knows?
One of my favorite soccer cliches is the idea that you, as a keeper, you have to move first, to make the first move. And I don't think you do. And Christian Kolina proved it. He's right. Been so good at home. We're not going to talk about Christian Kolina a lot on the show. I just wanted to give him some shout early on, because he's been phenomenal. There's a lot of other players we want to talk about. There's a lot of other moments, especially a guy named Edan Toklamadi, who's taking MLS by storm right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was important to give Christian Kolina his shout out for being good at home. I still don't trust him on the road, and he's been shaky all season on the road. But at home, he is ridiculously good.
It's a game-changing moment, and it's so much easier to go score 3 goals on a 0-0 than it is when you're down 1-0. And so keeping the game 0-0 at that point was absolutely crucial. Christian Kolina did it, and it's no big shock that Charlotte FC scored moments later and then the rout was on, because that was the moment that turned everybody's energy. I'm going to keep talking about energy the entire episode. Like, everyone was ready to be switched on. It was like, turn me on, baby. Somebody out here, turn me on. And Christian Kolina flipped the switch, and it was the magic button, and we were all feeling good. We talked about the Messi button. Oh, Miami's not a good team, but they have the Messi button. We hit the Kolina button, and it was like all of a sudden everything was good to go. And then the Toklamadi experience took over. What a night for him.
Well, I've got more good news for the TIFOs, is that a friend of the show, Matt Geslin, is here on the podcast tonight, and he was there at Bank of America Stadium. He had his camera. All the good photos that you see. Cheers. Cheers to you, Matt. Cheers to you, Danny. All the good photos that you see on our pages, Matt takes those. But instead of flattering him, I'm going to ask him why he wasn't focused on Christian Kolina when Messi was on the PK spot last night. What a moment for you as a photographer. What was it like at that moment, right? The chatter is happening. Messi's taking the ball. He's on the spot. It has to be – welcome to the show. It has to be a great day after.
Yeah, appreciate – thanks for having me on, and thanks again for the opportunity to shoot one of the greatest of all time. regardless how you feel about him at this point in his career in MLS, he's a player that we all idolize and looked
for sure.
At. And you saw that last night, too, not only from – you know, our photographer space, but just the fans in the stadium, they were all looking for Messi. You know, I've never heard a walkout for the opposing team get such an uproar and a cheer, which was pretty wild. I'm sure, you know, our side of the warm-up was a little bit turned off by that and probably played a little bit into some of their performance. But It was an experience that, you know, I would never thought I'd get. He's you know, come to the MLS and obviously given us a little bit of a taste of what he's been in the past, but it was an amazing experience. And to your question, you get a chance to watch Lionel Messi take a penalty. No disrespect to Christian Kalina, but I'm going to take Messi and his attempt at goal. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of people on that sideline, so it's a little challenging to get that angle with Christian saving it. But Messi hitting I told both of you I didn't see him take it as a Panenka, but I saw the attempt and run up as a chip, and I was like, did he really just do that Panenka to the photographer next to me? And sure enough, he confirmed it. So I don't know, a little bit of a showboat move, but it turned out well for Charlotte FC.
I think he was out of ideas. I really think he was psyched out by Kalina's waiting game. I truly believe that. And he was like, I'll just
– And for what it's worth, Christian Kalina has been a great PK goalkeeper for the entirety of his career here at
Charlotte.
It's actually like a really good matchup. And hearing you say that, like, I think that could come off as a joke. But I hear you say it, and I go, no, that's actually serious.
Well, he saved the PK against Orlando that should never have been given when Duncan Maguire went for the dive in Game 3 of last year's playoff in a match that was one of the top three most important matches in club history. He saved that PK. Unfortunately, the rebound was scored. Christian Kalina is great against PKs. He steps up in big moments, like you said. And can I just say, probably has to be on the shortlist for goalkeeper of the year again in MLS this year, despite a rough month that the entire team had.
Yeah,
Kalina, I mean, has had the moment.
Most saves in the league, I think, was the stat that came on the board this year. I mean, like you said, shot stopper 101. That's what he does. So.
I wouldn't say that he doesn't deserve it, but I would say
put him on the list. Yeah, put him on the list.
He's a finalist.
There's a lot to be desired, and it's that – and I'm going to get over it, but it's that – you know, May. Remember that May and June that Charlotte. During that month and a half, he was bad, but he's not that way anymore. He's playing
well, like you said. You don't trust him on the road, and May was all about being on the road. So there you go.
10? Yeah, it was 8 out of 10.
I thought it was like 10 out of 12, wasn't it?
10 out of 12. Even worse.
I don't remember.
But this club was bad. Here's what I went to bed thinking about last night after the win. You kind of look at the table, and you start asking yourself, like, where can this club actually finish on the table? We're going to break down the game. We're going to talk about things like that. But I think it's important to note that Cincinnati had a last gasp, last second strike Evander.
They had their Evander button, you know? Everybody's got a button these days.
those 3 points kept Charlotte in third place in the East.
Yeah.
But that's how close this club is to being second place. How close is this club being first place? Considering Philadelphia Union, who is right now first in the league, lost 7-0.
Got absolutely blitzed by Vancouver.
Yeah.
Thomas Muller, I believe on his birthday, absolutely went nuts. I think the club can rise. I will lament, and if you listen to our previous episode with Warren Barton last week, he got mad at me. Warren chastised me for being greedy
when
I said,
yeah.
I was like, if we had just not had that lapse of concentration in stoppage time against Philly, if we gotten 1 point and split the point there instead of giving them 3, we would be right there with a shout to be first in the East. He goes, you're getting greedy, Danny. You need He's like, just be happy with a home playoff seed, you know? And I was like, all right, yeah, okay, Warren, sure.
Yeah.
So I do think about, though, now, especially with Philly losing this weekend, because it's like we're getting closer. If they can lose one or two more times, Charlotte has a pretty favorable schedule. Miami was the big hump. I could see a decision day scenario where Charlotte is hosting Philly with a chance to jump them into first place with a 3-point win. I think it's not likely, but it's possible. Matt, what do you think?
I mean, I think just top four is a success all around. I think, you know, you're going into it. You know, we've talked about it before where the club just wants to continually progress and get forward. And Dean's talked about winning something this year, not necessarily that they've made the playoffs, which of course they clinched this playoff spot last night with Portland beating the Red Bulls, which is caps off a 9-win-in-a-row night with a playoff clinching spot as well. So I think it'll be interesting. I think getting to the playoffs, anything can happen, as we've seen in this league before. And having that home field advantage in the top four, regardless if it's 1-4, is going to make a huge difference for this team.
Well, for the reason that we just discussed, is that Christian Kalina is much better at home.
Mm-hmm.
And have 2 out of 3 at home is like you feel good about winning two of those three matches. And at this point, it's hard not to. You can have micro conversation if you want. You can talk about the match. You can talk about this season. But for me, this is kind of a culmination of the 5-year plan,
right?
If you will. All of a sudden, it feels like the 5-year plan feels good. That Zoran Crnetta has done a nice job. That getting Dean Smith in was the right decision, which we loved. I mean, when Dean Smith
got, it was a big swing when it happened, for sure.
When he got hired, we were like, "Holy shit!"
Yeah,
like this club is actually making a decision to be good.
Remember when they were saying
now they're good?
They were saying it's either Dean Smith or Frank Lampard, and we were like, "Lampard, no!"
yeah.
And then no offense, Frank and Matty over there is a Chelsea fan, but very happy with everything Dean Smith's brought since he got here. Dino's at the wheel. He set the tone in Coachella in 2024, and he has imprinted his stamp on this club, you know, to the point where, like Matt was saying, top four should be considered a win. The top four is the goal. Like, if you look, like, Dean has mentioned this and players mentioned it. Kalina mentioned it last night after the match, which was like, hey, top four is our goal. We have a series of goals, and the first goal is top four. The second goal is win the East, and the third goal is win MLS Cup. So they're this much closer. They've clinched the playoffs. They're very you'd certainly favor them to finish top four at this point, looking at the schedule and the form. So they're very close to achieving goal number one, and that's what the goal that Dino set out for them.
This is how small the soccer world is that you mentioned Frank Lampard, and you mentioned that moment, that fork in the road moment where Dean Smith gets the job, Frank Lampard does not. This past weekend, Frank Lampard and his Coventry City in the final gasp last minutes of the match, Haji Wright, the U.S. striker, cashes one in to tie Norwich City after Josh Sargent was the player of the month in the AFL for the first month of the season.
Questionable foul.
There's just a lot, that's how small the soccer world is and how quickly things can go from one thing to the next. And getting Dean Smith in and having him sign on the dotted line is really important.
Yeah.
And since we're mentioning the championship, I have to say that Patrick Aschenbaum made his debut at Derby County this weekend and got an assist. It's a let's call it a generous assist, but we'll take it.
It was
hey, counts.
He flicked it on. He flicked it on. It looked like his headed goal against Seattle when he first came on. You know, made his first goal for Charlotte FC, except he flicked it to a teammate who scored this time. And also, the teammate took several dribbles. You know, after receiving that pass. So I mean, we'll give him the assist.
Hockey assist.
It was a real assist, You know, you mentioned Patrick, and we're so happy for Patrick, and it's great to see him, like, feeling at home in Derby County, and we want to see that happens. But he has not – his production has not been missed in Charlotte because Idan Toklamadi remains on fire. Matt, we asked you what it was like to, like, be there shooting Messi up close, the GOAT. But the real question is, what was it like to be shooting Idan Toklamadi? I mean, like, you're witnessing true greatness there as a striker who just cannot stop scoring goals.
What does the eye test say?
It's an interesting one because – He kind of, obviously we're not going to put him in the Messi category, but he kind of pops up in moments. He's not really present throughout the entire kind of 90 minutes. I mean, he obviously works hard. He's bought into the system and presses and kind of sets that tone. And you obviously have Wilf and Kerwin on the other sides kind of bringing that three-way press to start. But there are moments where he kind of just floats and does what he needs to do. He does drop a little deeper at times to maybe get on the ball when he feels like he hasn't had enough touches. But honestly, he kind of is a poacher. And I think as a number nine, that's what you really want. I mean, that ball from, I believe it was Brandt across for his second one. You know, that's kind of what you want out of a number nine, just that instinct to know where to be. Kerwin and him on that two-on-one is a little different for the first one. That's instinctually where a number nine should be, especially with that winger a little further ahead and kind of play it square ball back. So, like I said, they're certainly not in the same field and not in the same stratosphere. But if you're asking kind of what he brings to the table, he brings that poacher instinct, and it's a huge plus. Plus his size, and he's continually putting the back of the net, which you can't ask for more.
He's a poacher. He's silky. He is.
He does have a nice
clinical
touch.
He finishes. Yeah. He slotted that first goal into the corner where the goalkeeper was falling over himself trying to save it. We've seen what he can do in the air. He goes and gets the ball, and he's so good at like stealing the ball. Like the reason Charlotte FC's form has turned around in the last nine matches is because Brandt Bronico and Idan Toklamadi are both playing defense on offense, And they're just taking the ball away. They're making life hell for center backs and central mids at all times and making those guys work to even get the ball to the enemy attackers that could hurt us. I mean, Messi did his thing last night. He jogged around, did his thing, whatever. But he never truly really hurt us. He had like one free kick at one point that didn't really do anything. I never saw him. There was a couple times where he's dribbling, and I was like, he drew the penalty, right? I mean,
I was not impressed with Messi's supporting cast. Let me put it that way. It seemed like he didn't have his best team behind him, which we know he didn't. Luis Suarez was suspended for the match. We mentioned
the
Dean
spitter.
He wasn't available.
Someone had a sign at the match that said that hot fly. Excuse me, before the match. That said, spitters or quitters, and I thought,
I thought it was going to say spit on that thing. I mean,
that's what you get, Luis. I mean, the jokes are going to fly if you spit on people. Sorry.
Hop fly, the vibe, the upper deck closed. Tell me about that. I didn't have a chance to be there.
I mean, it was a great day.
A different decision though than what we've seen in the past when the upper deck is open. They open like the upper deck on the opposite side of where the benches are. They get a few extra, maybe 15,000 people up there, max.
Right.
I probably 8.
Ultimately, I don't think you can open the upper deck unless you're already selling out the lower deck, and I think they were wanting to maximize those lower deck sales for...
But how did that impact the atmosphere?
It made it great.
It made a great lower bowl atmosphere.
I like when the upper deck's open, but I don't need it to be. And like I think Matt will say, especially from a photographer's point of view, it'd be nice if those seats were covered over with some logos and things like that, because it would just look better, you know, give a little bit better backdrop for some shots. But I don't need it to be open because honestly, I had an amazing experience at the game because our good friend, the anonymous dad, came through, hit me up on Saturday afternoon and said, "Hey, you going to the game?" I said, "Yeah, I'm rolling solo." He said, "Slide with me to the vault." I said, "Of course, that's easy. You know, that's a no-brainer."
Pretty good.
So I was able to go see like Messi and this great Matt and Edonto Clamati up close as well. I wasn't as close as Matt, but I was almost that
close. Yeah.
And it was amazing. And, you know, he's a great friend for inviting me yet again, and I took advantage and hopefully did not embarrass him by yelling too much at I kept chanting, "Pay your taxes," at Messi every time he came close. But I was also chanting a lot of love. I was trying to vibrate love to Wilfried Zaha whenever he
was on your side, too.
Sideline. Yeah, when he came down that left, I was like, "Wilf, we love you. Wilf, we love you. Wilf, we love you." Because I know he's dealt with a lot of hate, throughout his life and his career, really. So I just wanted to let him feel the love because he showed love to Charlotte this week. He talked about how much he enjoys Charlotte, so I was trying to vibrate that. And just the whole energy in the building was amazing. And like I said, Kalina turned us on with the PK save. And from that point forward, it was absolute lightning in a bottle. It was the both goals, both the Tokelmati's first two goals before the PK were scored in these sweeping moves. Just like Charlotte FC, just like rolling down the pitch like a wave. It was absolutely incredible to sort of just feel that.
And Tokelmati's just on the end of it.
Yeah, it's great.
And that's why I think it's important for me to I like Edan Tokelmati. I think he's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
And we've called him a poacher, right? But his goals last night were not that impressive. It is what it is.
Right place, finishes. Right time.
Well, yeah. It was clinical. He slotted that first one in really nicely in a spot where,
But he's in the right places. He's being served. I'm not saying he's doing it all by himself. I think he's got a supporting cast around him that is making him look good.
And his headers just are coming like off free kicks, great free kicks from Westwood. You know, I'm picking up what you're putting down, for sure.
But that doesn't take anything away from him. I'm curious to know what the market will look like for him here in the next 12 months. Because,
20 million.
If 10.
I mean, what's John Duran? I would compare him at this point to a future outgoing with John Duran, who Chicago Fire sold to the English Premier League for big money to Villa, right? And now,
what was Duran's price tag? Maybe they need him.
I'd have to look.
He's nowhere.
Maybe Villa needs him.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. I just think Tolomani has that kind of profile. That's all.
He definitely has a profile.
I don't have the number at hand.
We'll see what the. We will see what that business looks like, because I think you could probably talk about if he plays well for the rest of the year, Charlotte gets into the semifinals, maybe even wins the title. You're looking at the winter window, and you're asking yourself, is this guy worth $10 million?
Right.
and he could be.
Right.
And if he plays really well and Charlotte FC wins the MLS Cup, then you're talking about 12 to 15 for sure.
Yeah, and Ajumon was playing well, and they sold him. Milanda is one of the best players on the He is a top three player in club history, and he's already been sold. So they're not Zorn and the crew are not shy to sell.
It's weird to see Milanda on the pitch as a loney, not one of your guys.
It's really weird to see Middlesbrough official social media accounts like saying Charlotte won last night. Everybody, our new guy coming in is going to be great. Like, yeah,
top
it's
of
funny.
The table, I think, in the championship, yeah. Right? Too so
Boro forever, yeah.
He's got a chance Sister to play in the Premier League next year. Who knows?
That's right. And that's something that we have to now. We've got real players playing in real squads,
right,
who've been here before, and that's a whole different conversation because I kind of want it to be the other way around. I want people coming here to play for the club.
It's a nice balance, though. It is a nice balance of like Ashley Westwood, Nathan Byrne, those guys kind of Tim Ream a little later after their Premier League career, and then you have guys like Pat and potentially Edan and Milanda going the other way too. So you have a nice little core there. You know, obviously it's a tricky balance of incomings, outgoings, but you're getting that similar quality of player coming across both ways, and I think that's a big step for Charlotte, and that's why they're probably top three in the Eastern Conference because they have those caliber of players versus the rest of the league.
Byrne was amazing last night. Byrne was great. Byrne was so good. And guess who subbed in late and was kind of lively? Pep Biel is back for the playoff push.
It was really nice to see him come in and just kind of remind everybody, hey,
mm-hmm,
I'm here too.
Right.
Things have been going well, and
right,
how? What are you dreaming of at this point? Like, let's stop beating around the bush. I've tried to hit it.
I'm dreaming of the supporter shield. I'm still dreaming of the supporter shield. I'm dreaming of.
How could you not? I mean,
Toklamati is one off the pace for most goals in a season in club history. He has 11. Swiderski had 12.
Wow, that's pathetic.
Toklamati could pass Carroll. And really didn't even begin the season as
a
starter.
That's an indictment on Carol Swiderski, by the way.
Maybe, and yeah, you know, maybe. Maybe it's an indictment on Pat. Who knows if we're trying to be
young club,
open-minded. But I'm dreaming of the supporter shield. I'm dreaming of Philly taking – I don't think Philly is as good as some people have made him out to be. I just think – what I'm dreaming of is walking into Bank of America Stadium, the Fortress, on decision day with a chance to go top. Win and go top. On October middle October 18th, I think, right? Forgive me the date. I think it's October 18th. Just like decision day, final day of the season.
Which is usually a Sunday now,
I believe it's a Sunday, And it's just like the just win and go top and like get the number one and win the supporter shield, right? That'd be amazing. Yeah. So that I think it's going to take every single point from here. I think we're going to have to win all four of the rest of our matches.
Oh, for sure.
I think we're going to need 12 points to do it, for sure.
So... 13 wins in a row.
That's a streak that
New
may
York
not
City,
be broken.
New York City, Montreal.
If you're gonna hang your number.
Might as well go all the way.
Just hang it up in
the rafters and say, go get it.
We're going on a colonial tour. New York City, Montreal, D.C., Philadelphia. We're just hitting all like the old school, like northeast, traditional, like powerhouse cities. Boston's not in the mix, but hey, like let's go conquer.
Philadelphia, Montreal at home. New York City FC next match on the road. What's the fourth?
DC
on the road.
Yeah, on the road. Yeah.
We have a habit of playing.
I was gonna say
DC.
you guys usually are there for that one too. So
yeah, exactly. We'll see. I like to go to that match, but I missed it last year and now this year. I'm not gonna go. So next year we'll restore the early tradition of DC road trips.
There's a chance I show up at that match. Is it the penultimate match?
It's the penultimate match, yeah.
There's a chance.
I wouldn't rule it out.
If they win their next two matches, there's a real good chance.
I hope you
that
do.
If it's a Saturday night at 7:30 and I'm sitting here and it's 9 a.m., I'm like, well, I can just drive up for the
match.
Let's
go to D.C. Yeah.
Nice little drive.
Try to win 12 in a row.
Yeah. Might as well. Hey, there for history.
Win a shield.
That's right.
That's
if the streak is still going at that point, you have to.
That's an away day. Yeah. You must be busy.
I love it. I'm going to be in Memphis that weekend.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
At a music festival.
There you go. Even better.
So,
Well, you'll be walking to Memphis.
Right.
10 feet off the 10
Beal. 10 feet off of Beal, baby. Exactly. I cannot wait. And we're going to beat D.C. I have a good feeling about that. They've kind of thrown in the towel. Montreal's kind of thrown in the towel. So we'll see.
It's there for the taking, for sure. With the way the schedule lays out, with the next,
100%.
You know, especially with Philly at the end, I think that it's just kind of set up for you guys to kind of go for it.
Here's a good question I for you, I think, which is with the sideline view that you're getting and you're looking through with the zoom lens, the camera's like, what are some of the little things, maybe little interactions between players that might be tough to pick up on TV that are giving you insight about what the team can actually accomplish? Are you they all talk about camaraderie and teamwork, but do you see that in like sort of the nonverbal cues and like the body language and chemistry and stuff?
I think it's been an interesting journey for them since Dean's come in. I think they definitely had a little, it's funny you mentioned Philadelphia too, the way that they're played. They had a rough start to the season. It's funny how MLS is that way, where it's stretches and pockets more than most traditional upper echelon leagues, where you kind of have that cadence and you know kind of from start to finish. It's Liverpool, you know, Arsenal, they're going to be at the
top.
Ride
them waves.
And MLS, you can kind of get a nobody that kind of comes in and kind of pokes that hole, just depending on how they're playing. But I think they've kind of definitely grown with Dean and what he's trying to do. You can see his footprint and his instincts kind of laid into the players. I think it'll be interesting to see how Pep comes back and how they reintegrate him into the flow that they have currently. But they've done a really good job, and Wolf's done a, you know, kind of the kingpin on that left-hand side, if you will, and brings everyone together, moves balls around, and he plays with a different pace. And I think Johnny and I talked about this before, just the speed at which last night was played is different than some other games, whether that's Messi or just the quality on the pitch. But you can see that the pace has picked up a little bit as they've gotten more comfortable with what Dean's trying to do, and they're more comfortable with where they are on the pitch, and they know week in, week out they're going to play there. And they're kind of set in that starting 11 before the week starts. So they know going in on a Tuesday, they're kind of playing with the same guys. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when Pep comes back.
You're pinging balls with your eyes
exactly,
closed.
Exactly.
You know where your guys are. Yep. You know, in every position,
and everyone has a purpose now. You know, yes. You know, everyone knows what their job is, and you know, for example, Brandt is there to hound everyone and kind of get that press started. You know, Edon's right behind him or in front of him, kind of setting that press. And then you have the two wingers, like I mentioned before. So everyone has marching roles. And you have last night, Diani playing a little deeper with Westy. And kind
Johnny.
Of
Johnny. Yeah, have you noticed that over the last month?
Everyone's a little different with how they're pronouncing
it. Johnny? It was Diani for a long time.
Right. Okay.
And now everybody's going Johnny.
Johnny? Yeah. All right, Johnny.
It was Jabril, Diani.
It's just like Johnny. It sounds like Johnny to me.
I got him as
I'll
Diani.
Say Johnny. I'll say Johnny.
He's Diani to me. I don't know.
There's no J in that.
He was a force last night, I will say.
Jabril.
He definitely was
great.
You know, him and Westy
gave
were
up a penalty almost cost us.
Yeah, that was definitely a foul.
It must be showing up that way in like the announcer's
pronunciation guy
from the club.
He must have said something.
There must be something showing up in there.
He is a beast, but he's my number one candidate to lose his spot in the 11 with Pep.
Agreed.
Well, yeah, it's
agreed.
Always been that way in the midfield.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why this team is good, because it has the ability to decide who's going to play in the midfield, because I don't care if it's Diani. I don't care if it's Brandt Bronico.
Right.
It doesn't matter to me, either one. I think both are good at what they do. It just depends on who you're playing, what your tactics are.
And who they're playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Also the chemistry, though, because, like, as you said, like, you mentioned about just knowing where guys are going to be and you're peeing balls without looking. Brandt Bronico said as much in his post-game comments last night. He was like, I know Edon's going to be in the box, and I don't even have to look. I just send the ball to the box, and I know Edon's going to be there, when he was talking about his assist for the second goal. And that kind of chemistry is tough. It's tough to, like, on top of everything else Brandt Bronico does to secure his spot in the starting lineup, which Dean was like, you'd have to be a braver man than me to bench Brandt Bronico when you see, like...
depends on what he wants out of the result.
Like, what's the data tell him?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
You open the folder, you look at the data, and you're like...
And he's just like popping out.
How can you argue with the data? Yeah. The numbers just don't lie.
So
it will be interesting, though, to see if he plays two sixes now that Pep's back and healthy, like, because it's a little different. Obviously, Brandt plays a little bit more...
Right.
He's not going to give you
Pep
that offensive 10 flow.
I think Pep will work as hard, though. Pep will try to keep that same sort of playing defense while on offense mentality.
But Pep obviously much more forward-thinking than Brandt is, or at least has the skill to do that. So it will be interesting to see. Do you play Brandt and Wesley?
He's more creative in that sort of second third, that midfield third. But, like, in the final third, I'll take Bronny, dude. He constantly makes great moves and great decisions, great plays in the
final
third.
I think the difference is – I love what you're saying. I agree with it. I think Brandt, to your point, he knows where – Edon is. He knows to play the ball in the box. I think where Pep is different is he can create his own shot, and I think that creates a little something different for defenses to account for. So it'll be interesting. All options for Dean, which is a good place to be versus trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
And again, it goes back to MLS, which tactically allows you to be flexible, because it's not a different caliber league where, yes, we're not as good as everybody else, so we're always playing in a low block.
100%.
Week to week, you can make your changes. And even this week, going up to New York City, not only do you have to make changes playing against NYFC, you got to realize that the pitch is a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
And because of that, you're going to have to be different and flexible tactically. So I think that you're going to see those things from this club as the season rolls on, as we hit the finish line and you get into the playoffs. The reason why we talk about managers a lot is because these are the decisions.
That's what he's paid for.
Right.
Yes.
And he's been pulling all the strings. Dean Smith, who had a 10-match win streak with Aston Villa. So he's gotten to 10 before. He needs to do it again. You know, like I think if you have a 10-match win streak in two different top flight leagues,
it had to be in the championship. You know, the ten match.
Maybe I don't know.
Which, by the way, for what it's worth, he said himself that MLS is better than the championship.
That's true. That's true. Yeah,
this is a better win streak.
Exactly.
That's what he said. He said it on the show. I played it on the last episode. I think. There's a great rip of sound that we have.
And he's selling. We're selling players to the championship, which apparently is not as good as MLS. Yeah,
for good cash. We'll find out though. We'll find out exactly what the better league is, because Patrick Ojemong is going
to
tell us.
He has one assist in one match. I know Dean is hungry for the win streak. Like he said, it's nice to be tied. It'd be better to own it. I want to own the longest win streak. So it's very much a priority for Dino to make this history. I think it's only going to build in my mind as the week goes on. We're recording this on Sunday night, just all aglow on a beautiful post domination glow.
The afterglow.
The afterglow, as it were. And things are good. But I'm only going to get more hyped as this week goes, to start thinking about 10, 10, 10, 10.
10. You
know, 10. A 10. I give it a 10. Exactly. So Billy Bob knows. And
does it mean anything, though, versus winning MLS Cup at this point? Like, where does that stack to you? Especially with
I told you that my goal is supporter shield. Right. So, I at this point, I think we're going to have to win 13, and we'll have to have a 13-match win streak, win every match here on out, and get the supporter shield on the last day of the season. I have not lost sight of that whatsoever.
It's really interesting, because that's a great question. Like, what is more important, to keep the wins going now? I think it's not one or the other. I think that you have to do both. Like, I think that the winning all the matches will lead to a trophy.
Sure.
Like, whether it's Supporter Shield or MLS Cup.
Winning breeds winning.
I would rather.
Yes.
I think everyone.
So you just like knock down the first hurdle, which is getting the job done at NYCFC.
Right. You got to take it one game at a time.
One game at a time.
One game at a time, baby. Exactly. So 100%. I would rate Supporter Shield slightly ahead of MLS Cup. I've come around to the way of thinking.
Yeah, I've always been that
MLS
way.
MLS Cup is like a side tournament at the end of the year after you decide.
I do feel like it's a long shot, though.
I know, but imagine if we had that point back against Philly.
Just gotta get into the competition.
If it wasn't for that three point swing.
No, the Supporter Shield.
Supporter Shield to me
feels like a long shot.
4 points.
We're just 4 points back with four to play, right?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, 57-53.
It's not because Charlotte is 4 points back. The Crown is 4 points back. It's because San Diego, Cincinnati, and Minnesota are all closer. So not only do you have to outperform the team that's ahead of you by 4 points, you have to outperform the other two teams.
Right. Another conference that doesn't impact you, and you have no say in whatsoever. Vancouver looks pretty good.
If we sit on 65 points, I think we have a shot.
What was last year's
winner? Four
matches
left. We have 53 currently, four matches left. If we get 12 out of 12, I think we have a shot.
What was last year's Community Shield? Is it similar pace, or is it a little ahead or behind? Or you would know better than I would. I don't even
know.
Well, you're asking the right guy, because I'm looking at this information right now. And last year, the Supporter Shield winners, the Inter Miami, 74.
But, and then crashed.
So lower. So less slower pace this year than
crashed out in the playoffs to Atlanta United. They couldn't beat Brad Guzan when it mattered.
Yes, so. Inter Miami won the league by 8 points last year.
They set the record for the most points.
74. Right? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. 74 points, 22 wins, 8 draws, 8
draws?
Draws. Yeah. And 4 losses, which by the way, that was weird last night. I had two people who reached out to me and said, "Charlotte FC only has 2 losses?" I was like, did they say something on the broadcast? But I just remember it's 2 draws.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm glad that you're on the show tonight because I feel like we've been having this conversation for like 2 years now. If Charlotte could get more draws,
right,
they would win something.
Right.
And think about that. 11 losses. If you take 6 of those losses.
I was gonna say 6 or 5, you know. It,
right.
And you turn them into draws. It never feels like that in the moment.
Yeah.
But at the end of the season, it always proves to be true.
Literally threw 3 points in the garbage against Sporting KC. It gave up 2 stoppage time goals, so a win became a loss. And then the Philly goal, I distracted Dean.
Yeah,
all your fault.
Like, legitimately, yes.
It's funny, though, you say that with a league of such parity and designed for parity that you wouldn't have more draws.
Yes. This club has never had draws.
Right, yeah. Right.
We are totally – and the reason why is because we win at home and lose on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Road form is –
That's just how it is.
Yeah.
There's 11 losses.
Most of them are on the road.
Yeah. On the road. Yeah. Maybe even 9.
And we've talked about that before, the three of us, how important that road form is. And you just hope – that's how important that 1-4 is, just to get that home playoff series.
I think they can win in Montreal and D.C. I'm not too worried about it.
Regular season, yes. But I'm saying for the playoffs, it would be – that much more important to get one of those
home
top
field.
4 home field advantages.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a home club.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the first goal on the board.
It's tough to come play on the turf in Bank of America Stadium. It's hard. The ball bounces differently.
Definitely bounces.
And our teams are and our home teams that are the Crown is just like prepared for that in ways that I think other clubs aren't. I think we should finish off the show talking about Wilfried Zaha. I just think that we should just give him some flowers. He's the one that gave Edan Toklamadi the hat trick penalty kick at the end of the match.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that earned. Zaha did was he
yeah,
earned
he got
the penalty.
Fouled, yeah,
he could have easily taken that for himself.
Yeah, Dean said as much,
and he didn't. Wilfried Zaha is somebody that we've talked about as a player who could potentially be a cancer in the locker room. He's the exact opposite right now.
Yeah. Well,
how does that make you feel?
He said Edan's like a little brother to him, and that made me feel like Charlotte FC is a family. You know, like those guys are playing for each other in that locker room.
Yeah, like a
they're
club.
Playing for each other in the locker room. The club has ups and downs. The club has ups and downs. You know, let's just put it.
No, but remember this.
Yes,
the players are always the one that are getting paid by the club.
Yeah, the squad has never
been
tighter.
It's when the pay doesn't match with the production when we have a problem.
Yeah,
fans,
well,
as fans.
No,
the players
like,
don't mind.
Personally.
Yeah, right, right,
yeah.
Right.
Well, being paid.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets paid either way. Yes.
There is a DP who's not really holding up to his salary right now, but that can be a different episode. But as far as Zaha goes, he has made the comment. He said, again, I'll keep going back to all the post-game comments because it was such a monumental night. And he said, hey, I'm here. I'm a DP. I get it. I'm looked at, you know, but I have to go in the box and win a foul for my team. Like, I have to fight for this team. I'm here to win. Only thing that really matters to me right now is winning. And, you know, I always say, who are these haters? Like, Zaha has mentioned, you know, oh, people are hating. There's all this hate coming to me. It's always the hate directed at me. And I guess that's true. I'm not calling him a liar. I just don't see it. It's maybe in his direct – maybe, like, people are DMing him or something. Or, like, I don't see the criticism. For me, most people are pretty complimentary of Zaha in almost his entire time here. I guess there's some people, and again, it has happened. I'm not
but
saying that didn't happen.
That might be his edge,
but
though.
It just might be like
I think it is
might be
edge.
An exaggeration. It might be one
good.
Person said something, and that mattered more than the 100 who said something good. That's 100. That
fuel.
Is,
it's fuel for those
for
guys
sure.
at that level.
And that's
to take
fine.
That.
If that's what motivates him, that's fine. I'm just speculating 100%. I don't want to put thoughts in his head, but what he has shown with his actions and his words is that he's here to be a teammate. He's here to make guys better. He said, the thing I like most about Edan is that he's a sponge. Everything I tell him to do, he soaks up and does it. So he's loving
life. You could tell from the very beginning that Zaha and Edan were buddies.
Yeah.
Like you could just tell. I mean, their hair is very similar as well. Yeah, you can just tell that there's something there, and I think Edan would be very smart for this to realize that like he could have a mentor if he wants one on the club, and now he does.
Right.
And not only does he have a mentor, he's a guy that's looking out for him, and maybe somebody that's going to make a call to somebody who's working over at Crystal Palace to say, "Hey, take a look at this kid."
Sure.
As he's gone, you know it's like,
take a look at this kid.
I think he's a great fit and an extension of what Dean wants with Westy, and you know, he's just an added piece, an added layer to what Dean's saying on the sideline or even in practice every day, and he holds the team accountable.
He said that in the press conference.
Holds the team accountable.
He was asked in the press conference. They said, "What are you going to do with Dean up in the press box in Tepper's box?" And Zaha said, he was like, "Well, we as players need to represent him on the pitch, and that's what you're 100%, outlining.
100%.
He is that. He's the manager on the field.
And winning cures a lot of that. You know, yes. Like you said, like." Could have been a totally different thing if it was 9 losses in a row with him and his personality. When we signed him, or you guys signed him, I mentioned that to both of you. Like, this could go either way. But I think winning cures all, and he's definitely come in with the right attitude and made a huge, huge impact on this squad that they wouldn't be in third place without him, you know, even with all the injuries and everything that's going
on.
They wouldn't be there.
It's just... You sit a little closer on the edge of your seat when the ball's at his feet. You know, the hair on the back of your neck stands up when he's dribbling through guys. And it's just like, if you want to talk about a reason to, like, be a soccer fan and, like, to go to soccer matches and see things that, like, these super talented individuals are doing that other people in the world just can't do, Zaha brings that. And so that's why you go to a match.
That's right.
That's why you get filled with that energy and you get pumped up and inspired by what the team is able to accomplish, because once you get to know the guy's personalities a little bit, you really feel, I know we don't really know them, but we feel like we know their public facing figure. And it's so great to see the chemistry and the bonds being built, at least in what they're willing to show us as public and as fans. And it makes following the team a very rewarding experience.
Because I think that we have enough soccer knowledge to know that when you hire a guy like Dean Smith and you bring in a player like Wilfried Zaha, if there's other guys on the team that are, like, good, it's probably going to end up being a decent situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a numbers game at the end of the day. You could hire somebody random. You could hire somebody who has MLS experience.
Right.
But why don't you just hire somebody who is a proven winner, who's accomplished things, and give them tools, who have also played at a high level, who you know's game is going to translate. And I think that's why Wilf has been phenomenal, is because his game does translate to this league. We talked about him being a Jack Grealish type player right after he signed here, before he played his first minute, and that's how it's played out to be. And at the same time, you've got a guy in Zoran Crneta who deserves a little bit of of credit for what's going on right now at this club.
Everyone always jokes about Grealish. Well, Grealish. Dean will bring Grealish.
We already got him.
We brought him. We brought Zaha to be the same thing for Charlotte that Grealish was for Villa under Dean.
Right. And Zoran is going to be – remember when we had episodes before in the past where it was like next one out?
Yeah.
Next one gone?
Yeah. Right now nobody's leaving.
Yeah. It's a very good situation. Yeah. The vibes are good. The vibes are high. And the sky's the limit.
Right.
It's been a pleasure watching the club kind of figure itself out.
Dude, I mean, one more story from just being blessed enough to, like, go get to watch this epic game you know, from the vault was that post-game, there was a lot of lingering going on the pitch, and David Tepper came down with Dino, and they were, you know, they didn't do a full lap around the stadium, but they did a half lap or whatnot, and just, like, even though, like, I have very ambivalent, like, complicated feelings towards David Tepper as the owner of my favorite club, but when I was up close and personal with him, I couldn't help, you know, I was a little toasty, but I couldn't help but be like, thank you, Tep Daddy. Thank you, David Tepper, for, like, bringing this team here so we could experience nights like this. For better or for worse, even if I don't agree with every single decision, like nights like last night and, like, just what the highs of being a Charlotte FC supporter are worth all of it. The lows kind of suck at times, and when the team's playing bad and it's boring and losing all the time, it sucks. But when they're making history, it's a great ride to be on. We're riding them waves and holding down the standard. I think the Panthers are losing again as we record this, right?
Shocker.
So there you go. Yeah.
Shocker. What's your prediction? Might be the last time you're on the show before the end of the year. What's your take on the final result of the season?
I mean, I can see this club going, you know, and I've been pretty, as Danny Brams always says, frenemy of the show over the years, and it has nothing to do with my lack of respect for MLS. But I think you get into...
Which is real, by the way.
Well, the team is... And for what it's worth, you've probably been vindicated on a lot of that stuff because the team has never been good enough. They've had moments, but I'm asking you, are they good enough now?
That's where I was getting the full circle, you know, just trying to paint that picture. I think, you know, the beauty of MLS, too, is you get into the tournament, you never know. And this team, if they keep playing, they don't have to win every game. That's why I was asking earlier if you'd prefer they win out or if they kind of win MLS Cup. I think maybe a loss just to reset and kind of get their head in a better space.
I don't ever
want
to see another loss again.
A loss that doesn't impact them, my point of being like within the last four games, maybe a loss in the regular season doesn't hurt them going into it.
So they can kind of reset
and get ready. I think this team has the skill and the depth and the manager to kind of make a good run. I think semifinal would be a good place for them to finish, and you never know final if they get a little bit of luck of the draw who they get paired with. But from what I've seen, I mean, this team has no reason why they can't finish top four.
Yeah.
And no reason why they can't make a good run, and they have every piece. You know, Kalina, goal stop, you know, shot stopper. They have a striker up front that's going to score goals. They have experience in the middle and out on the wings. They have a good defensive structure now. They've gone back to a little bit more of that core. So I think semifinals is kind of within reach. And then from there, you never know. Luck of the draw, flip of a coin. Finals could be in the cards. So
what would be the actual streak, right? They're at 9 right now.
Right, with four games
more
left. Yeah.
13. Then you win 2 out of 3
in
your first round.
15.
And then after that, it's just a single elimination, right?
Right.
So I think it's 9 more. So I think we're at 9 with 9 more to go.
Let's get to 18.
If you do the math again quickly.
I believe you're correct, yeah.
You win.
That'd be one of the greatest runs in history.
You win 2 after that. Yeah. You're at 6.
What if
then
we just
win 7, 8, and then 9 for MLS Cup?
What if
that's
we just,
18 matches in a row.
What if we just never
win.
Lost
I'm not
again.
Saying it's going to happen, but they are halfway there, which is kind of crazy.
Right.
If you think about it like that. Nobody else has been close to halfway there before.
The only one other team, Seattle, and I don't know if they had the same playoff structure that they could go to. But I'm not going to say they're going to win 18 in a row. I think that's a stretch. But
you know what's I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I think the one final point I want to make is that the fact that Seattle does also hold the record with Charlotte, I would say, is very fitting. It feels like an accomplishment, because I think Charlotte FC's goal was always to be Seattle Sounders.
That's fair.
And being Seattle Sounders would have always been a great, great...
One of the staples of this league, of the sport in this country. I mean, a new club coming in and setting the tone for themselves. I think that's a great comparison. Hopefully, with what they're building, they can set the tone going forward. Even if this year doesn't go as far as we just pronounced, it's setting the tone for what Charlotte soccer could be for years to come.
And I think a lot of times and in a lot of places that people thought that actually wasn't Seattle Sounders, it was Atlanta United. And I think early on it was, you wanted to replicate Atlanta United because they won so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But actually what you want to be is Seattle.
They squandered it.
You want to be Seattle. Yep. You don't want to be Atlanta.
Seattle, Portland, yes. That whole Cascadia.
Seattle's
Cup
in the playoffs every year with a chance to win it most of the years.
That's
what you want. Yeah,
exactly.
And the Supporters Shield every once in a while. And a CONCACAF Champions League every once in a while.
That's right.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly
the key. Yeah. That's one thing that you've said, and we'll finish on that, is that Supporters Shield, MLS Cup, CONCACAF Champions League is where it's at.
How great
would
that be?
That's where this club needs to go for its next step.
How great would that be? Yeah.
Yeah, to play in those games, the start of the year, February, March matches.
Right.
That matter.
Yes.
All year round.
Honduras road trip, who's in? Let's go.
It would be a great way to see Central America.
Yeah, 100%.
To travel with Charlotte FC.
Hey, now that, you know, Tep Daddy, you know, just maybe hook us up too, you know.
Yeah. You know, get
you know, best friends.
Yeah, adapt him. I was wearing a hat though, so.
Thanks to the TIFOs for hanging out. Tremendous friends of the show. Appreciate you. There's going to be more content for sure. There's going to be press conferences this week. We wanted to do a Wilfred Zaha decoding the presser. We didn't do it. I
He'll speak again.
He will speak again. So keep an eye out to the YouTube page. I appreciate you listening this far into the episode. Danny, it's great to see you. Welcome back to North America after your gorgeous trip down to South America.
Yeah. Very jealous.
Go if you can. It was amazing.
Yeah. So
life affirming.
So it might be MLS Cup affirming.
Yeah.
Here in a couple months as well. 2025, write it down in your history books. It's Charlotte Soccer Show. And as always, for the crown, baby.